It's Monday, May 13th, 2024, and you're listening to episode 623 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 34 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Mary.
This is Doug.
And this is Wayne, and I have a problem.
One that we can actually help you with on the show?
Yes. Not a mental problem, though.
Yeah. No, it's actually gaming-related.
Yes, so
Fear the Boot is not doing an ad deal with BetterHelp.com, so yeah, we're not going there.
Yeah. So a few episodes ago, we talked about some of our gaming traumas, and we were talking about it specifically around players being part of a organization.
Yes.
And how it's something I don't like because I feel like they're always going to call in the help. You prefer it because you can use that organization to give them direction.
Right. And assist.
Well, I've got it going on in this campaign that I'm currently running.
Well, good
running.
For you. You got it going on.
I'm running a Dresden Files campaign. And in the Dresden setting, it is an urban fantasy from a wizard's point of view. Typically, there is a white council of wizards. They are basically the governing body. Within that governing body, there are the wardens. Those are the wizarding police.
And this is a worldwide, very powerful organization.
Yes. I've got two wizards in the party. One of them is a warden. So naturally, the warden wants to call in reports, call in for help, ask for support. And I keep basically pulling the rug out from under them. And I don't like that. It's a case of I don't think it would be fun if they have somebody come in and save the day. But it makes sense for the character to be reporting it because, unlike the books, Harry is a character that doesn't trust them.
Yeah, and it's reciprocal. They don't trust Harry, and it's very much a he's on the outs.
Yes, this is a character that is in good standing with them, who trusts them. There's no reason that character wouldn't
call for help. As someone who's not deep into the Dresden lore, how powerful are these wardens?
Very.
Yes, they are some of the most powerful wizards. They go out and fight the wizarding wars.
Anybody with battle magic is basically becomes a warden.
Okay.
So it's the most powerful fighters in the wizarding world.
So I don't want them to come in and just fix the problems. So I've done a lot of either they call and nobody's there. They have to leave messages because messaging services are pretty common in the setting. Or I'll have them reach somebody that is just basically an utter jerk to them that won't pass the messages along to the right people. And it feels like I'm pulling the rug out from under them. And I even out of character, GM to player, I'm not letting you call in the big guns for this. But it makes sense for the character to try that. I've also had the issue where there are bigger powers, the fairy queens, that could essentially not like what's going on. So they've tried to reach out to the fairy queens to tell them, hey, this is going on. Deal with your problem.
Yeah, make this your problem.
Yes.
The real bitch of that is sometimes it makes sense from a storytelling perspective.
Well, and what I'm kicking myself on is this can be dealt with at session zero, but I didn't. Gage, when he was running a game recently that I was in, one of the first things he did was he went around all of us and said, why wouldn't your character call the police when something bad happens? And we all as players had to answer that about our characters. It was a given. Our characters are going to deal with it ourselves and not call the police. It was up to us to figure out why that is. I didn't do that in session zero. I've thought about trying to add in something else like the books has done of there could potentially be corruption and make them not trust this organization. But again, then I feel like I am taking away what the player wanted for that character.
Right.
And the player wanted them as part of the organization, and now I'm making that organization be untrustworthy.
Right. And even your other option that like jumps out to me, but you said this is nearing the end of this campaign, you're very far along. What you could have done, again, from the beginning is have something, again, what happens in Dresden a lot, something much bigger is happening elsewhere that is drawing all of the major focus of this organization. But if that hasn't been the focus of the campaign, it seems really not okay to do it now.
And I have leaned on that heavily.
Okay.
I have had other things happening and you can't get a hold of the senior council because something is happening out there. You can't get a hold of the fairy queen you're trying to get a hold of because there is an invasion at the outer gates that she has to deal with.
Yeah, the problem is that eventually all those excuses wear thin.
And if they're not the focus of the campaign, like if you're not also dealing with these problems, then it's like, why?
Why wasn't I called in to help with that?
Right.
I can relate to this because even though I've never run Dresden, I have run games that have factions that would care about certain events, and it makes perfect sense that if they called that organization, which may be wildly more powerful than they are, probably would come in and clean up the mess. One of the examples that comes to mind is in a Battletech game. There's a lot of lore to Battletech, so I'll try to keep this high level. But there's an organization called Comstar, which is a mixed communications technology and secretly very, very well-armed military and intelligence organization. And this is when they were at the height of their power and secrecy right before the clans invaded, which is where that all kind of broke apart. And the players at one point encountered something, and they said, well, we're just going to call Comstar and tell them this is occurring. And by the internal lore of the plot, I don't remember what the story was exactly, but to the internal lore of the universe, they were right. That one call to Comstar and they're going to show up in force, or even if they try to hide their force, they're going to send out operatives and snipers or hire mercenaries. They're going to fix this. Keeping them out of reach works incidentally, but it really does start to wear thin. You can see it in Shadowrun as another game. Your buddies and contacts, they have over the years added more and more controls to them because it used to be if you bought up to a really bestest friend who worked for something like the Lone Star Police Organization or Ares Security or one of these major groups, it was really hard to explain why they weren't going to back you up. Once again, you could come up with an excuse. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're busy. The boss is watching. I've done this too many times.
It starts to feel like you're Lucy pulling the football out from Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Every single time.
That is honestly a dated but great metaphor.
I'm old, okay?
Let me give a couple thoughts on this before we start really getting deep on how to address this, which is, first of all, I'm not sure Session Zero will fix it. Now, I think Session Zero will help because there may be obvious things. For example, in this case, if a player says, hey, I'm rolling up a warden, you can say, okay, pause. I already see where this is headed. What are you going to do regarding having this organization constantly fight your battles and wipe your butt? But sometimes you don't see it coming because the plot, the organization, the moment of the story is not one that would have come out in Session Zero. It's something that just occurred right on the spot. And especially if they start building a rapport with a more powerful group.
Yes.
And maybe that group owes them some favors or is now kind of helping them out. You still end up in that same place and you never saw it coming in Session Zero.
Yeah. My players have successfully turned two antagonistic NPCs that were powerful to their side.
Yeah.
That's always an opportunity. That's always something that can happen, but it was not something I expected. I love that they did it, but mm-hmm. I didn't expect
well, it. Well, a story about flipping NPCs is actually going to be part of one of my suggestions on how to address this. But I want to ask another question here because my answer to your conundrum is going to hinge a little bit on one question. Is this something they paid for in character creation?
No.
Okay. Because in Shadowrun, if they bought that as a contact or a buddy, and then I take it away from them all the time or very regularly or way more than makes sense, then I have screwed them out of something they made a character weaker in other ways to earn.
You are basically, in D&D terms, the god who refuses to answer the cleric's spells.
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
is
yeah.
literally well, part of your character. Or and you need it to function.
Or you're a sniper, but I've always got a reason why you can't pull the trigger.
Right. Or you don't have any ammo.
Or, yeah, yeah. Or whatever. Yes, or something. The there's always there's yes. the person's walking with a potted plant in front of them, cartoon style, and that actually confuses your character.
Yeah, no, that is definitely not the case here. This is just something that is character backstory and character.
So if you took that away from
not
them,
mechanical in
okay,
any way.
You're not. The character would still have all their everything they paid for.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I am doing. In one of the last sessions, I did finally let a call get through to someone who said they would send in two wardens for support, but that they are all strapped. So what I am doing for that is I'm sending two green warden rookies that could potentially be more of a hindrance than a help, because the party is now going to have to keep them safe, keep them from overreacting, because they're not field tested yet.
We've turned this into an escort mission.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Well, or even if they're similar in power to the rest of the party.
Yeah, and they're powerful. They're just
kind of
green.
Just come and go or whatever, then yeah, okay, you've got a helper NPC, but this is not the I win button.
Yep. They have powers, but they're green. They don't know things yet.
The two solutions that come to my mind are both fairly similar. The first one, and this goes back to where you were talking about flipping an NPC, is there can always be someone more powerful. Now, this can also get out of control. As always, this is a tool in the tool bag. This is not a one-size-fits-all solution. But in a D&D game I've referenced before, where the party managed to talk the big bad out of his plan and flip him to their side, as I reviewed what I was going to do with the plot, I said, okay, what if what's got him doing what he's doing is the fact that there's something even bigger he's afraid of? There's something else out there that concerns him or could beat him. And so the party is back to being the snowflake that decides which way the avalanche falls, as opposed to simply phoning up the avalanche. And so they're going to win or not, but whatever the case is, we're back to an underdog story.
Yeah, I can see, though, how that could turn into basically like Dragon Ball Z level of, well, we did that, so, or that's now on our side, so now there has to be something else that's
so
always bigger. And
there's 45 ways of conjugating some form of Saiyan or whatever, and keep on working your way. So, yeah, it does get ridiculous. The second suggestion, which is similar to the first, is there could be someone out there that simply has knowledge that nobody does. You call the police and they show up, but they can't find any evidence of a crime because a ghost did it. And so this just not within their ability to deal with. In the case of Dresden, I don't know, I could give you a great example because I don't know the lore. But for example, in the current actual play where you guys are out in space opera, starships, all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of lost history to that galaxy and a lot of lost knowledge and a lot of people with secrets. And so even if you had a powerful organization backing you up, which is something that very well could happen during the course of this game, that doesn't mean they're going to have access to what it would take to solve the problem. Not because of a lack of hardware. They could throw the people and the starships at it, but they don't know what they're dealing with. Or maybe it's in a territory they can't get to or don't have jurisdiction over. I don't know. This is a real ass grab because I don't know Dresden,
right?
But could there be something where the wardens just plain don't have jurisdiction, or it's too political for them to get involved? Because to get involved would be to take sides and draw them into a conflict they don't want to be in.
And that's definitely a very doable thing. That was something I had not thought about, is making it a political reason that they can't become involved. Then you have that player character who is one. They're getting involved, then, is crossing that line themselves.
Well, and they might slip something under the table and say, you know, you're right, we agree with you, so we'll send someone out to take a look and back you up, or we'll give you a magic item or whatever it is, or cast a spell that's going to give you a bonus to a few rolls or whatever they're going to do. But we can't get all the way involved, even though we are going to give you a bit of a life preserver.
Yeah,
I really love the political, because I have tried to make this a very political game as well. So that is something I could easily call on. There is always the mature way, so we're not going to actually do that, of sitting down with the player and saying, hey, help me come up with an idea of why this won't keep happening.
Well, yeah, but if this
was, I'm not going to do that.
If this was a mature situation, they'd see what they were doing at the time they were doing
it. Or when you've already sat down, player or GM to player, and said, please stop doing this. The only issue I can see might be, and again, it comes down to the player, is if you're hamstringing an entire organization, you have to be careful that your player doesn't also feel hamstrung in the same way, that they can't act.
And that's my fear.
Yeah.
Is that if they're told by their superiors, we can't get involved, are they going to say, I can't get involved?
Right.
I thought of a couple things. The first thing that I thought of is, what if they're the backup? What if they're the SWAT team? And the other one is, every time they call in for help, what if they like get a reputation with the others, and they're like, oh, we're here to clean up your mess again.
I mean, yeah, it's a fair point. If you think about the real police, you call 911, they're not going to send every cop in the nation.
Right.
You know, there's a limit to what they can send. If they send a couple of officers over to take a look, what if the group is those officers? What if that's the resource of, hey, we've got a lot of things we're dealing with. We got a lot of things going on. So you're the ones we're sending in the first place.
I kind of love this idea. And if I wasn't near the end of the campaign, I would definitely do that of, okay, you called them in.
They're now deputized.
Yeah, you are the deputies now.
They're now deputized wardens.
No, not that. They descend in to help you. And the thing you called them for disappears because all of these things are coming in and doesn't come back until they're gone. And next time you call them,
do you have proof this time?
Boy who cried wolf, exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, give them what they're asking for. Everyone comes in and there's nothing there for them to deal with.
I think the one thing I would be careful of, and I think these are definitely workable solutions, is I'd still want to give the player something. Because I would not want them to feel like they've got a valid solution and I'm just going to absolutely frustrate and obfuscate and block at every turn. Right. I think that's a bad GMing technique. I've played under GMs that do it. I did it myself and I hated it.
Yeah, and the only reason I don't want to just give it to them is because that will make it the campaign not fun.
Yeah.
Well, and especially not fun for every other character who isn't a warden and, like, would have no part of whatever was going on.
You're
to
no
happen.
Longer the stars. You're now the supporting cast while these NPCs clean up the problem.
Yeah, instead of a weekly game, can I just give you a one-page police report on what they showed up and did?
Yeah.
Why are we playing this if you're not playing this? Yeah, this was a question that also came up in a BattleTech game where they were playing mercenaries and they got enough money. And we're like, well, why are we doing this? Here's the charts in the mercenary handbook for hiring people. We've got enough money to just subcontract all of this. And I was like, you bastards. I mean, you're right. But why are we playing the game? I mean, if you just want a subcontract, I could probably find a bunch of management level video games that would do this better than us sitting around for 4 hours at a table staring blankly at each other while I describe in gory detail how somebody else fixes your issues.
Yeah. Well, and just to be clear for this topic, I brought it up because I don't want this to be basically a deep-seated trauma for me that I add to my baggage.
Yeah.
I am at the end of
this
campaign.
Which is an episode we still need to do.
I have a handful of sessions left, and this campaign will reach its finale, and we go on to the next thing. So I can get through that. This isn't a big deal for this. But I want to be prepared for it for next time, because I don't want to just say going forward, no, you can't be part of an organization, because I have trauma about it.
Well, and it's traumatic on both ends. Like, if you are the player who's like, but my character is part of this organization and I never get to use it, that is also a problem. Like, going forward, you don't trust anything after that.
This reminds me, actually, of my own foray into Dresden. The one time I played it, where I didn't really grok the setting all that well. And so I took a character based loosely on something in Journey to the West, and I made a very, very minor water dragon, was perfectly in balance with the rest of the party. The character was just using the stats of a water based mage, I think was all she had. The rest of it was pure role play. There was no game mechanic or power to it. And I set out from the start that since I was using the cosmology presented in the Chinese epic Journey to the West, that I believe the head of the water dragons is Ao Guang, or he's at least the head of one set of them or something. And I put her under him, but basically said that because this is her domain and this is what she's responsible for, it would be profoundly shameful and embarrassing and all these other things if she ever had to go back to him for help. And if she did go back to him for help, best case scenario was he was going to make her pay for it socially. Worst case scenario is he may actually turn on her or replace her as failing her job, and so I'm going to put somebody else out there.
Yeah. And I still think that character and that setting could have fit in a game. The problem was it didn't fit with the other characters at the table.
Yeah, I know. There was a lot in that game to deconstruct, which I don't want to get into here.
But I don't see that as a... That character absolutely could not work in that system and setting. It didn't work in that situation. But I do think you could make that work and you could build. But again, it's one of those things where this is really a game that works best when everyone creates their characters together in the beginning and they're talking with each other.
Random thought that just occurred to me while you were saying that, and again, it's something that could have happened earlier in the game. It might have been an option to have the other player characters be a reason that we can't bring the wardens in all the time.
It could have been, especially when the warden has a brother that is looked down upon by the rest of the White Council. Yeah. That could have been something.
Yeah, if one of them's wanted by the wardens or... Let me ask you a question, though, and I'm going to ask you to speculate here. So out of these two players, has at least one of them GM'd before?
Not much.
Not much. Okay. Yeah. So these are not experienced GMs. Okay. So
one that's trying to call in help is not an experienced GM. The one that is a wizard that is not calling in help is an experienced GM.
Okay. There it is. Because the reason I automatically kneecapped myself with my own major dragon was because, as a game master, I knew that that was going to be a constant thorn in your side and a constant detriment to the story being told if I was always phoning Ao Guang to fix the situation for me.
Well, and it's one of those things where the player doesn't really want the help to come in. It just makes sense for the character to make those calls, and it wouldn't make sense for the character not to make the calls, but they're expecting me to... Do something to keep that information.
Well,
yeah, and therein is where I was going to ask for a speculation, not on game mastering, but if they are not game masters and therefore maybe don't intuit naturally the problem that this could cause, can you guess as to why they're making these calls? Because, I mean, surely they can work out on some level that this breaks the game?
It is one of the interesting things of playing in a setting that is so well-defined in books. I have players that have read the books. I have players that haven't. This is a player that has read all the books and wants to see the NPCs. I don't want to bring to the table. They just want to talk to them and interact.
I've had this exact same problem, and I didn't bring it up earlier, but with the power, wanting to bring in the power behind the throne, or, you know, your backing band, basically, but also just wanting to talk to people in Star Wars before, where people know the universe so well that they just want to play around and what we know happened or all the people that are there. Yep. Or if we're working at all for the Empire, we're like, we have stormtroopers. Can we just call in the army?
And I 100% think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
There is a desire to talk to these characters from the book, not to have them come solve their problems, but to interact with them.
Okay, so this is far from a universal solution, as this is completely idiosyncratic to yours. But can you give them that without the other part? Say, okay, so-and-so, I don't know, Darth Vader of these police is willing to have a sit-down with you to discuss the matter, but that doesn't mean he's going to do anything.
And that's,
or he may say, you know what, this is why you're a warden, do your job.
That's what I did in the last session, was I let them actually get a hold of someone on the senior council. And the senior council answered the phone and said, this is your job. I trust you. I believe you will make the right choice in this situation. This is why we put you in that role.
Yeah, you know, another thing this is reminding me of is in the West March's D&D game we're playing, there was a situation where the party was still very low level at the time and did not have really enough spells to work through a situation the way that they were approaching it. Now, there were other ways to work through it, but I'm a believer that if players are being creative and they've come up with half a dozen ways there, you should validate that to some extent. The approach they were taking, it was obviously going to need help. What they had found was this powerful living artifact that takes on the form of this 150-foot tall walking statue, which, to put that in perspective, I believe that puts it about twice the height of the Statue of Liberty off her pedestal, if I'm not mistaken on how tall she is. But whatever the case, this thing's really freaking tall. And it was inert, and the soul that had been bound to it was stuck in this nightmare, and all these things were going on. And so Doug's character is a member of the Church of Torm, Hail Torm,
Hail Torm.
Hail Torm. So they called on the Church of Torm, who in some centuries past, it was in their archives that they were the ones that had created and then abandoned this project. So they reached out to the Church of Torm, Hail Torm. And so it really made no sense that they wouldn't respond at all. So what I had them do was they sent one character. They said, okay, we're going to send you somebody. And so they sent over a guy that I named Brother Croft, who was a higher level paladin, I think, paladin or cleric, something. And he had access to the magic that they were looking for. But when he showed up, apart from giving them some clues about the plot and casting those spells, every time that they were about to go into a fight or to deal with something bigger, it would always come down to, like, he would maybe say, well, I need to keep studying this. You know, you're dealing with goblins, and that's cool, and all that needs to be done, but I'm trying to figure out this 150-foot statue with its soul caught in a nightmare. You know, this is kind of a bigger issue I got to deal with. I guess, though, I also have to grant that the players were kinder in that they're so paranoid of my NPCs, which I love, that they never call them. Because they've got NPCs galore that could probably sort out half their issues for them, but they're so terrified that all these NPCs are going to backstab them, despite the fact that I have not done that to this group. And I understand why Chad's afraid of me in that regard, but the Chad's not in this game. And they never call on these NPCs, which I appreciate. And I've heard them even have the conversation of, you know, well, aren't we not playing the game at this point if we just...
So I had in my last D&D campaign, the players were part of a adventuring guild that also was connected to the king of the kingdom. And they had those as things to call on. But throughout the campaign, I kind of built it so the thing they were dealing with, they ended up getting a unique relationship with it. And they had an NPC that essentially was a child of two gods that they raised. And so it interacted with them. They could have gone to the adventuring guild. They could have gone to the king, asked for resources. They did. They got those resources. That didn't matter. They had the unique relationship. The king couldn't go deal with the situation because they were the only ones that had that relationship to deal with it. And that worked out really well for me in that campaign. I didn't think of anything like that for this one. But that, I had wars going on, so the resources were a little thin. But the king gave them resources, gave them an airship that they could use to get them where they were going. But the king's army couldn't fix the problem because they were the ones with the unique relationship with the beings to deal with it. And it wasn't a power level thing.
You know, I really hate to go back to the mature answer. Because it just feels so countercultural.
It's dissatisfactory.
It is, I know.
Yeah. Talk to the player and actually work with them to come up with a solution.
And I think the question I would ask is, okay, if the wardens come in, they're going to fix this for you. And you guys are going to do nothing, which obviously kind of defeats the point of the game. But I don't want a little black book of excuses on why you can never work with them. And I don't want to screw over your character by saying that things that make perfect sense just plain can't work ever, that this group won't respond. And maybe say, look, is there something I can give you that would make you feel like this was worthwhile without destroying my plot in the process?
Even if it's just a promise of there will eventually be something big enough that you will need their help for. And when you need to call in the big guns, you will get to call in the big guns. But for all the smaller things, maybe don't.
Yeah, it was nicer in previous campaigns when I didn't have somebody that was actually one of the wardens. Because then they saw the wardens as, they're going to come in and make things worse. Yeah. We're not going to call them.
Yeah, there was no danger in Blades in the Dark. We were going to call in the Bluecoats. Unless we were setting a trap for them.
So here's an idea. What if you... just had a, whenever they called them in, you gave them a die roll and then like they come in and help them out, or they say, oh, I'm busy. But that kind of takes the pressure off the DM a little bit. You get what I'm saying? So it doesn't feel like you're pulling the rug out from them. It's the die. You could blame it on the dice.
Yeah. On a 5, they will give you some form of a help. On a 6, they'll actually show up. On a 1, 2, 3, or 4, then they're... all busy getting tested down at the clinic or whatever it is they do and are not available. I don't know. Or maybe could they offer to help with some portion of it? Like, okay, we can't come out there and fight this fight for you for whatever reason, but we can take care of this one NPC you're having an issue with. So you're getting something here. Your background does matter, but it's not going to overwrite the plot. Or, okay, we can throw an artifact, you know, a little magic item your way or something, or send a, as you suggested earlier, a greenhorn who's powerful but maybe not experienced and is only one person and cannot by themselves completely rout the battle.
Yep, and that's the direction I'm going with it, is I'm giving them a couple that are fresh, that they're powerful, but they're not skilled and knowledgeable yet. And that's because I wanted to give something. I wanted there to be something there so I wasn't always pulling the rug out from under them.
Well, another way that you can give them something without giving them everything is to use it to funnel information without funneling backup power. Like, if you're part of an organization and you need to know something or somebody would have information, it's a source, but we can't help you with it. We could just tell you what you need to do or what we would suggest.
That is another route I could do, with give them advice for it and things like that.
Yeah, so it still feels like you have an organization at your back, but you're not getting backup. Just
they offer soft help.
Yeah.
Or soft resources. They don't offer hard power. We're not going to show up, but we'll throw a tip your way. Or
one of the problems with this campaign where I made it worse was they were just a warden. They were reporting to a regional commander, so they kept calling the regional commander. So I had an event happen outside where the regional commander was gone, and they've been promoted to regional commander. I thought that was going to fix it.
Yeah. Instead,
now they have a direct line to the next level up. I made the situation worse.
Yeah. You
I'm regional commander. Trust me to send me more resources.
Right.
Yeah, what is that called when you promote someone to irrelevance?
The Peter principle, is that the...
I thought that was incompetence, not irrelevance.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Where someone rises to the highest level of the level of incompetence, but whatever it is, there's a name for when you basically promote someone to a dead end to simply get them out of the way.
I've got a lot to think about on it, and again, like I said, a big part of it is I don't want this to be something where in future campaigns I push back and don't let people be part of it. I do think I've learned my lesson, and I need to have that conversation before they get the character and ask, why do you want to be part of this organization? What do you want to get out of it? And make sure they understand that for the story, I can't have somebody come in and fight the battle for you.
Right. And even if you want to send in reports and let them keep the people appraised of what's going on, don't expect anybody to come in and help on a regular basis.
Okay, I think that's where we're going to wrap this one up. That's out of timestamps. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot in the show notes. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2024. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.